Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me for Becoming Who I Am. I am your host, Diane Rosina Jones. It's wonderful to actually be with you on today. It seems like it's been so long. Oh, my God. It seems like it's been a long time since we spoke, since we chatted, since we discussed some things. So I'm definitely excited about today's topic, to continue the workshop, to just talk about life, all of the wonderful things that are happening in your life. I'm sure there are wonderful things happening in your life on today. And if by chance you are unable to see those wonderful things that are taking place in your life, I dare say, let's talk about the treasure hunt. Let's get it on. Let's get it popping. Let's break it down. Because truly, there are treasures in each of our lives. And we need only to locate them, to recognize them, to accept them for what they are. And those are treasures, precious treasures. And this treasure hunt, today we're talking about the treasure hunt, and that is what it's all about. So now before I get too far into the topic, because you know that I can go in from the moment I start running my mouth, but before I do that, I do want to give out the information. If you would like to join me in the chat room is open. If you'd like to, if you're on the internet, I appreciate you joining me by internet. If you'd like to call in, I know a lot of my listeners actually dial in as guests and just listen. So you can call 760-695-5620. You may want to go ahead and put my number in your contact list, 760-695-5620, and do as many of my guests do. They're not anywhere near their computers on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, but they just go ahead and dial that number, put Becoming Who I Am right there in your contact list with 760-695-5620, and just dial that number at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and you can listen to the show wherever you are, as many do, and I certainly appreciate those of you who do. So, of course, you know that you can reach out to me during the show on Twitter. That is DieJones247. Make sure you follow me. I'll follow you back. DieJones247. If you're on Google Plus, baby, I'm on Google Plus too. That's DieJones. Certainly, just look up the information, DieJones. You'll find me on Google Plus. If you're on Facebook, go ahead and send a friends request to me. That's Diane Rosina Jones. And if we're not friends on Facebook, you certainly can go to the Transforming Life Institute Facebook page. You can post your comments and questions there as well. Share your thoughts. I'm checking that out during the show. And if you're not a Facebook person, baby, I got something for everybody. There is no reason you can't reach me. You can't communicate with me. We can't chat, talk, or whatever. Get your coffee, your tea. I don't know if anybody's drinking and taking any little sips at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, but whatever you need, get that. Get to that comfortable chair that you love. Hopefully you have on the clothes of your comfort and whatever that may be. I'm not even going to tell you what I have on because, baby, I'd be wearing some stuff in this house to be comfortable. And maybe it's, you know, yeah, I'm not even going to go into details in regards to that. But get that and you know, grab a blanket if you're kind of chilly, because I got the air up a little bit too high, so I had to put on some socks and turn the air down. And just get ready to talk about this treasure hunt that each of us should be engaged in every single day of our lives. I'm also on LinkedIn, So you can search Diane Rosina Jones and find me there as well. And last but not least, if you are not on LinkedIn, you're not on Google Plus, you're not on Twitter, you're not on Facebook, you can actually go to the Transforming Life Institute website page. That's www.transforminglifeinstitute.com. Sign up to be a free subscriber, get my blogs, get the, you know, messages, newsletters, whatever the case may be. Go to the community forum where you'll be able to see the prayers that are placed there, meditation moments, inspirational quotes, all of that good stuff right at the website. So for those of you who have been joining me each and every week for the Tragic Treasures Workshop Series, I say thank you, beloved. I trust that you have been blessed by the series thus far. I do want you to know that it is not too late to join in if you haven't. Even though we are on series number 10 of 12, Tragic Treasures, Discovering Spoils of War is my first book that this series is based upon. It is a relatively short book. Compared to others, only 127 pages. Baby, you can get your copy today, autographed copy at www.royaltreasurespublishing.com. Go ahead and get your copy. It's only $10. I'll autograph it. I'll send it to you. If you see me in the street, at the job, at the store, wherever, baby, I got a copy in the trunk of my car because I'm still doing it like that. You always have to have, if you are about that business, you always have to have your product with you. So if you see me, you can just be like, oh, can I get a copy? And baby, boom, you got a copy. All right. Or if you want to download it by ebook, you certainly can go to Barnes & Noble website, Amazon, Books A Million, all those different ones. You can get the book. You can download it to your Kindle. You can download it to Nook. You can download it through iTunes. Baby, you can put it on your iPad, your iPhone. Sugar, honey, baby, boo. Okay, you can put it on whatever device it is that you have in the United States or out of the United States. You can get a copy of Tragic Treasures, Discovering the Spoils of War in the Midst of Tragedy by yours truly. Great series, great book, and I'm not just saying that because I wrote it. It's truth. And be sure while you're at the Royal Treasures Publishing website to check out the review in regards to Tragic Treasures, in regards to the book. See what other people said about the book when it came out. It's been out a little while, but it's still going strong. I look forward to the day that I'll meet many of you when we go into our live in-person workshops, conferences, and seminars. That day is coming, and I look forward to meeting many of you. But in the meantime, I appreciate you joining me each and every Sunday morning for this hour of reflection, inspiration, motivation, encouragement, empowerment, and all that. I'm in a rare state this morning. You know, I have not said these words out loud over the air on social media or anything of that magnitude. I feel led to say it today. I'm confident I'm standing on God's promises to me. And based upon those promises to me, I'll be going to closing in 2 weeks on the house that I have been looking for, in the community that I have been looking for and searching for a long time. Know that whatever it is that you want, that you desire, that you think, dream, or ask of God, not ask. That's a country thing that many of us don't know how to say the word ask. We say ask. But we say A-X or A-C-T. No, ask. So let me rephrase that. There is nothing you can think, dream, or ask for that has not already been created in the mind of God, and it's awaiting your conscious activation. So know that this morning what that means is that, yes, faith is fine, but faith without works is dead. So whatever it is that you think, dream, or ask, the Bible says that not only do you have to ask, but you have to knock. And in order to knock means you got to get up and go somewhere, boo. You got to do some things, boo. You got to meet some people in order to make it happen. So this thing here requires your conscious activation. It requires your action activation. It requires you to activate that which you desire, that which is awaiting you, that which has already been created for you. All right? So I'm going to let that go because I can stay there on that for a moment. That's a preachable word. Mm-hmm. Awaiting your conscious activation. Waiting on you. And since I can't move from there, I'll just say this in this way as well. Everything that you need, want, desire, which aligns with that of the vision, purpose, and destiny you were brought forth for, is waiting on you. You are not, nor have you ever been, waiting on God. That is an erroneous concept that many of us have been taught, including myself. And for many years, we used that concept as an excuse to not actively pursue that which we desired, longed for, yearned for, wanted, and needed. Because somebody taught us that we had to wait on God. However, let me clarify something. If God is the creator, I'm going to get to tragic treasures in a moment. I'm going to get to the treasure hunt, but let me just drop this piece of information into your spirit this morning. If the God that you serve is the creator and created the heavens and the earth. Now, we're going to go biblical. Everybody does not have to really believe this concept of creation, but I'm going to use this as an illustration to make my point. If he created the heavens and the earth and everything else that was within it within 7 days, if you believe the biblical account, okay, symbolically or literally or whatever the case may be, I'm going to use this as an object lesson. Then that means that everything that you could ever think of, dream of, hope to have, accomplished, come up with, has already been created in the mind of God. The only thing that has not happened for most of us is our conscious activation, so our awareness of that fact, which leads to the manifestation, because that means that our conscious activation, when we are aware of the fact that everything that we desire, want, need, you see, yearn, long for purpose, destiny, and vision already exists in the mind of God, was already created during those 7 days when he created, and there's nothing else that needs to be created that has not already been created. When we get that and we understand that, then and we become aware of that, then we understand that the manifestation is on us. It's not on God. You ain't waiting for God. God is waiting for you to get in a place, in a position to be prepared for purpose, to be prepared for the destiny, to be prepared for the manifestation. So it has not manifested, not because you waiting for God to do something. It has not manifested because you now have not gotten into position to receive the manifestation of that which has already been created for you from the moment you began this journey. And I'll just leave that right out there in the atmosphere for you to think upon. So know that everything that you want, desire in your life, or vision, purpose, destiny, everything has already been created. God is not waiting on you. I'm sorry, God, you are not waiting on God. God is waiting on you to become consciously aware of the fact and to position yourself and prepare yourself in purpose in your heart, in your mind, and to align yourself, your life, your thoughts, your deeds, your actions in such a way that that which was already created can manifest. So manifestation occurs when preparation is completed. I didn't say when perfection is completed, when preparation is completed. When you are prepared, then you will have it. Okay, so we'll leave that there for you to just think upon. We will leave that right there. So now on to workshop for today, based upon the book Tragic Treasures, based upon the chapter on treasure hunt. I'm going to tell you something. For those of you, if you are a nonfiction spiritual writer, you understand what I'm saying. I actually had to, or I have been, reading my own book, because many times for those of us who write nonfiction spiritual literature, we attempt to write only that which spirit reveals to us in that moment. So what that means is I can go back and read the chapters of my book and I'd be like, I have an Urkel moment. Did I do that? Because when I'm writing it, I'm writing from the unction, like the old folks used to say, the unction of the Holy Ghost, or, by spirit. So many times I go back and I reread what I wrote, and I am actually even surprised at myself, because I know that what I wrote wasn't of me, but it was something that came through me, through my ability to yield, through my desire to yield and to allow spirit to speak. And then I write that on paper. So when I was reading this chapter, oh my God, I was highlighting everything. You know, I was just highlighting stuff like, okay, I got to discuss this. I got to discuss that. I got to discuss the other. Because even for me, it was like, okay, I have aha moments when I read my own stuff. You see? So in this instance for today, what I want to do is I want to read a little bit directly from the chapter. And probably today I'll read more from the chapter than I have any other chapters. This is a shorter chapter, but it is filled with more information that I think that will help you, encourage you, you see, will lift you up, empower you. Okay, so this is a chapter on tragic treasures, and if you are following along in the book, it begins on page 111. If you've already read the book, then most likely you do already recall and still remember the information in regards to this chapter. And blessings to all of you who have already purchased a copy, already read the book, sent me words of encouragement and support. I appreciate that. You do not know how much I appreciate it. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and read a portion of this, and then we'll get right into it. This is what the chapter is based upon. Okay, so the treasure hunt that we're referring to today is based upon a scripture from the Bible, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So from the book, I'm going to read this. Some of the most precious jewels discovered during my treasure hunt were priceless lessons that taught me how to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Once those lessons are embraced, our spirit transcends the tragedy and grows in grace. As I search for tangible treasures, priceless rubies, diamonds, and pearls of the Spirit transformed my spiritual core. It is critical to embrace the fruit of the Spirit or risk succumbing to the ravishing effects that lingering pain has on our spirit. Persistent agony torments the mind. Enduring headaches harden some hearts and weaken others. Ongoing pain eventually manifests as anger, which then produces bitterness and infects the soul. Bitterness is a hard root to kill. It is like a cancer which has spread to the bones and robbed its victims of life's very essence. The misery associated with unshakable pain displays its distress on the heart through a spirit of depression. After suffering the effects of depression for many years, I had to pursue and recover indescribable treasures because in my mind all else was fleeting. The accumulation of material possessions did nothing to heal the inexpressible emptiness in my soul. After years of acquiring things, I changed the scope of my treasure hunt. Although I bought the house, drove the Lexus SUV, attended Johns Hopkins University for graduate studies, lived in Hawaii, and traveled to Paris, France, none of that strengthened my spiritual core. Once my focus shifted to refining the fruit of the Spirit, the healing process was accelerated. So I'll stop there for a moment and kind of let you know this is what I discovered. I realized that, now based upon the fact that many of you have read my book, so you know the things that are in the book, if you've done the last 9 sessions with me, you kind of have an idea. I am someone who knows about tragic moments. I'm someone who knows about tragic consequences. I'm someone who has at some point endured indescribable tragedies. However, Spirit revealed to me that this treasure hunt that I had been on, after I got to a place where I understood that I really needed to be seeking a treasure from in the midst of all of this tragedy, the treasure hunt for me shifted. It shifted from the material things that I had, because at one point when I had everything that I thought I desired, I was most miserable. When I had the house, the vehicle, the education, the money, the position, the titles, I was most miserable, you see. And I realized that what was missing was the fact that I had not searched for the right treasure. My treasure hunt, my focus was not where it should have been. I sought treasure in the tangible items. And many of us, when we endure things, many of us, for example, when we're upset, when we are hurt, when we are distressed, when we are in pain, when we have been, experienced the most tragic moments, we often seek out tangible treasures, you see, even if it's no more than shopping. I was in the mall yesterday and I was shopping. Oh, I felt so good. And I could understand how someone can use shopping as a means to kind of replace that which is missing in their soul, you know, kind of trying to use that as a means of overcoming a past tragic moment. Oh, it felt good. I had to hurry up and get out of the stores. And then I realized why I shop online a lot. I shop online because I realize that if I go online to shop, then I am looking for one certain thing, and I can get that without coming away having spent hundreds more dollars on things that really were not on my list to purchase. And when I was in that mall yesterday and I was going past all the jewelry stores and the shoe stores and the purses and the, you know, and the clothes and the this and the that, I realized that, you know, in many ways we use things like shopping because we have not determined that the true treasure lies within. That our true healing comes from within, that our true victory comes from within. So I had to change my focus, and I began to understand that the treasure hunt needed to be based upon those things that would strengthen my spiritual core. And the one thing that I found that I knew would be to focus on the fruit of the Spirit, because the Bible says there's no law against that. There's no such thing as having too much love, too much joy, too much peace. There's no such thing as having too much gentleness, too much goodness, too much faith. There's no law against that. You see? So when you think of the healing process, when you think of it being accelerated, when you think of those things that you need in your life that would help you to overcome some of those tragic moments, tragic consequences, then really what you should seek are the fruit of the Spirit. Seek more love. Seek more joy. Seek more peace. Seek more temperance. Seek more gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Seek even more long-suffering. We're going to go through that because a lot of people, I think they don't understand what the terms really mean, and they think it implies a vulnerability to be hurt, but that's not what we're referring to. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, in mentioning the fruit of the Spirit, we're not referring to being a person who allows others to hurt you or take advantage of you or use and abuse you. We're talking about a means of having an inner core strengthened by spiritual fruit that allow you to move through this journey in such a way, really, that things and people don't hurt you and experiences don't hurt you. So this is the thing. I want you to reevaluate what you think of when you think of the fruit of the Spirit. Don't think of the person who is being used and abused and you know, taken advantage of because they are so meek and humble and gentle. Think of the fact that when you really find the true treasure of unconditional love, when you find that true treasure of temperance and long-suffering and joy and peace, really it makes you the stronger vessel, not the weaker vessel. What that really means is that in the midst of adversity, tragedy, storm, or distress, you are still in control of your spiritual core. Your spiritual core is strengthened as opposed to destroyed and weakened. And that means that you leave out of that situation. You come away from that experience. You come through that journey a better person. You come through that journey a stronger person, not a bitter person. So therefore, the person who has sought the fruit of the Spirit as their treasure comes out the winner, comes out the victor, comes out with the victory. So let me break this down. I'm going to read a little bit more and we'll discuss it a little bit more as well. In the pursuit of spiritual treasures, I found an abundance of precious gems like love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. I recovered agape, which is unconditional love. It's an undefeatable, unconquerable generosity and kindness that gives freely without asking anything in return. Agape is love by choice, not by force. Agape is love based upon free will rather than emotion. I learned to love myself and genuinely love others without requirements. A genuine love surfaced beneath a torrid fear of loss. Instead of allowing fear to prevent my endearment and attachment to others, I fought to love fearlessly in celebration of those who remain. So then, agape or unconditional love, really it is a undefeatable, unconquerable generosity and kindness that gives freely without asking anything in return. Now let me explain something. When I say unconditional love, what we're referring to here is not the ability to allow other people to mistreat you and do anything to you. See, you can walk in unconditional love, but that does not mean that you freely give and do and you see, and allow others to behave any kind of way to you all the time. I can walk in unconditional love and still have nothing to do with you. Okay, there are many people in my life. I love them unconditionally. What that means is that I would never seek to change who they are. I know who they are, and that's who they are. I have accepted them for who they are, but I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. That's two different things. So know that loving unconditionally does not mean associating with those who hurt you or allowing pain and suffering and abuse into your life. It means that I love you based upon who I know you to be. It is not a romantic love or intimate love that requires that I give a part of me to someone who abuses me. It is a love for mankind that says that I will be generous and kind. I know that the love within me is undefeatable, is unconquerable, and I give it freely by choice, not force. However, in this free will, I also understand that I can love you from a distance. I still love you, baby, but I don't want to have nothing to do with you. That's still unconditional love. I still wish you all the best. I still hold no ill will towards you. I forgive you. I want you to prosper. I want you to be well. I want you to be who it is that you were created to be, but I will not be a part of your life. That's still unconditional love. And I'm going to tell you something. Really, I learned in the season of defining or understanding what it meant to go on a treasure hunt, I realized that sometimes unconditional love, that is the epitome of unconditional love. Unconditional love is letting people go who, you see, are being or at a place in their journey where who they are being or becoming does not align with who it is that you are becoming. Unconditional love says, I can let you go, not wish you harm, not run you over with my car, not badmouth you to everyone I know. You know, I can let you go because I love you that much. Really, it is not unconditional love, and it is not love at all to hold on to someone that you're holding on inflicts or causes or taps into your pain or theirs. So love is not hold on to people as tight as you can, no matter what is the cost. No, that's not it, baby. That's not it. No matter how much it hurts. Somebody said love hurts. No, my love don't hurt. Maybe yours does. I don't know. But that is not the definition that we're referring to when we talk of unconditional love, because sometimes unconditional love has to let go. And it's not unconditional love if you don't let go. So here's another part that I want to discuss. So then we understand one of the treasures in a treasure hunt that you should be looking for is unconditional love. And know that sometimes in unconditional love, that means letting go. That means walking away. That means giving them your blessing. That does not mean associating with them or celebrating someone, or it's okay to be mistreated or abused. It means that you love them enough to allow them to be, to become who it is and be who it is that they deem necessary for the journey that they have. That's unconditional love. So here's another part. So that's one thing we should be looking for in the treasure hunt. Unconditional love for ourselves, for others. Some of us love others more than we love ourselves. We got that kind of twisted. Okay? Because guess what? If I love someone else more than I love myself, then first of all, that's not unconditional. It's conditional. Because there's no possible way to love someone else unconditionally and not have love for self. It just doesn't work like that. Because you've restricted love within you, for you, you cannot unrestrict love for others. There's no means of doing that. So we have to love ourselves unconditionally. Loving ourselves unconditionally does not mean that whoever I am, I'm okay with that, that's fine. This is just me keeping it real, 100%, whatever. That's not unconditional love. For yourself. Unconditional love for yourself is accepting and knowing yourself and knowing your flaws and knowing what you're good at, what you're not good at, what you need to work on. Unconditional love says, despite my flaws, I love me as I become. But unconditional love also is an ever-evolving, for yourself, is an ever-evolving place of knowing that it is your goal, it is your journey, it is one of your purpose, it is part of your destiny to become all that you were created to be. And becoming always implies the fruit of the Spirit. It always implies the positive, not the negative. If you are becoming that which or someone others can't be around, can't tolerate, can't show unconditional love to without you trying to take advantage of it, if you are becoming manipulative or controlling or bitter or angry, you see, then these are not the things that we're referring to. This is not the fruit of the Spirit. So then your unconditional love should be allowing you to become better, not bitter. If you are becoming bitter, if you are becoming angrier, if you are becoming more and more depressed, then work on your unconditional love for yourself. Okay, work on your unconditional love for yourself first, and then you can give unconditional love for others. Because if we don't love ourselves and we attempt to give unconditional love to others, then what we end up being is abused and used, because we have no boundaries for what we will give to others when we don't love us. And then when we give to others that which we shouldn't give and they take it, we get mad. But you gave it. Okay, I hope you got that, because I can't repeat it. So you have to love yourself unconditionally and understand that in order to know that the boundaries that you set for your life, for yourself, are okay, and that you don't allow others to cross over that boundary and abuse you and use you and take advantage of your generosity and your kindness. So I'll read a little bit more and we'll move on, because we have some other things that in the treasure hunt you should be looking for. So unconditional love for yourself, unconditional love for others. All right. And here's another part of the book. No spirit can prosper without love. Without love, forgiveness is impossible. Without love, relationships crumble. Without love, respect is eroded. Without love, hearts harden. Without love, minds weaken. Without love, souls suffer. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul mentions that none of the other gifts we possess mean anything if we don't have love. The foundation of all healing starts with our ability to love. Allow this fruit of the Spirit to reign supreme in your life. With love as a spiritual foundation, every proper emotion will be securely established and negative emotions will be scarcely found. I found a spirit. Now, see, that's love, okay? So now we're going to move on to another treasure that you should be hunting, okay, in your treasure hunt. I found a spirit-given expression which flourishes best in hard times, and that is joy. Joy isn't a human-based happiness which comes and goes. It is a divine, or I should say it is divine in origin. It's the subtle inner security that all is well in your soul despite the storm that rages all around you. It's an inner serenity which goes hand in hand with a tranquil state of rest I encounter called peace. So joy is not something that comes and goes and based upon circumstances and situations and what you have and what you don't have. Know that joy is subtle, and it's an inner security. It is an inner serenity. It's something deep down inside of you that knows it's going to be okay. Joy is something inside of you that is assured that all is well, despite what the experience is that you're having, despite what the season is that you're in, despite the journey at hand. Joy is a subtle inner security, an inner serenity that often goes hand in hand with a tranquil state of rest called peace. So now peace, which the Spirit provides, leaves tranquility in the soul. Our spirit is unaffected by the outward circumstances or the pressures of life. It's an inner stability in the midst of chaos. So now, let me explain this again. So hear these key words. Joy is inner security. All right? Serenity. Peace is inner stability in the midst of chaos. Peace, joy says it's going to be all right. And peace says I will not be moved. Peace is stability in the midst of chaos. I'm still okay. I can still rest. I can still sleep. Peace. Inner stability in the midst of chaos is peace. Inner stability. Joy is inner security and inner serenity. Peace is inner stability. I'm saying that over and over again because Spirit wanted me to stress those things. So in our treasure hunt, we should be searching for love, joy, peace, okay? And then also, if you endure enough tragic moments, your spirit learns long-suffering. Long-suffering bestows the divine strength needed to endure with hope. Long-suffering is not the ability to tolerate foolishness. It is the resilience birthed in our spirit to continue long after others have given up. It is the tenacity to persevere in the face of all adversity. So then, long suffering is divine strength needed to endure with hope. So long suffering is enduring with hope. So now, the treasures that we hunt, the treasures that we seek, the treasures that we need for this journey, for this life, is unconditional love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Joy says, it is well. Peace says, I am okay. Long-suffering says, I still have hope. You see? Life can present moments which require persistent pursuit of good in the midst of evil. This expedition is never ending, but yields priceless treasures. And I'll read that again, as it is written in my book. Life can present moments which require persistent pursuit of good in the midst of evil. This expedition is never ending, but yields priceless treasures. So know that in the treasure hunt, when you are hunting for the treasure, which you have to do daily, some of us are in seasons of our lives, the journeys and the experiences that we are having. It may appear that we constantly are in a state of turmoil or storm or struggle. In those moments, what you need to seek as the treasure from that, okay, of course there will be the solution. Okay, but here's the key. Most of the times, the solutions to our problems lies with our state of mind, our thoughts in regards to the problem. Okay, the resolution to all problems eventually come, and they are eventually manifested. Most of the times, when the resolution to the problem does not manifest immediately, it has to do with our state of mind. It has to do with what we're seeking as the treasure in the midst of that situation. So ask yourself, if you're in a moment or a season or having an experience or a feel that your journey at this point in time is that of continuous struggle, fight, chaos, and whatever the case may be, whatever storm, whatever terminology you want to use, then ask yourself what your focus is on in regards to the treasure. Because you'll find that if your thoughts exist or reside in the turmoil, the struggle, the fight, the battle, if your thoughts constantly are continuously about that, then you'll stay in it longer. You won't see the resolution. You won't see the solution. You don't see the experience. You don't see the lesson. However, when you actually decide that in the midst of that, first of all, you're going to tap into the fruit of the Spirit, ensure that you're walking in unconditional love, ensure that you're walking in joy, peace, and long-suffering. When you can get your spiritual core in order and tap into those treasures, in the midst of that, you're able to clearly see solutions, resolutions to the other things. If you can't tap into the treasure, you spend more time in the midst of the tragedy. So tapping into the treasure is crucial. Let me read the prayer to this chapter that I will actually put on the website, put on my Transforming Life Institute website at some point, if not today, within the next few days. Divine Spirit, today empower me with a spirit of persistence. It's so easy to give up when surrounded by seemingly overwhelming odds. Sometimes I feel like the Apostle Paul, who felt evil, was always present. Teach me how to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I have so many mixed emotions that at times feel uncontrollable. I realize emotions are to be felt, but expressed in a way which promotes a positive outcome. Today, I take control of my emotions. I will relentlessly hunt for unsnatchable treasures in the midst of every tragedy with the Spirit's divine guidance. Okay? And in your journal this week, I do want you to list the fruits of the Spirit that you will cultivate in your life. Certainly, you can put them all down. Put down, we didn't talk about all of them listed in Galatians. However, we talked about what I consider to be the main ones. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Okay? And know that, you know, Apostle Paul spoke about this in the Bible, and he talks about, when he talks about love in Corinthians, and he's saying that if you, you know, no matter what your gifts are, I'm just going to paraphrase, I'm not even going to read the scripture. It doesn't matter what your gifts or your talents are. It doesn't matter what you possess, what you can do, what you have. If you don't have love, then you don't have nothing, basically. You know, and I know that that does not correspond with what other people think and they see, because they see people with stuff. And they feel like that because people have stuff, they got everything. But, you know, if that were true, there would be a number of people that we consider celebrities or stars that would still be with us. So if you believe that just because people have stuff, then they have actually cultivated the fruit of the Spirit, or they don't need to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, I should say, or they don't need to have a strong spiritual core, then I would ask you to go and look again. Look at the lives of many who are gone and who are still with us, who have everything that one would think is needed in the physical in order to enjoy this journey and enjoy this life. Yet, they are tormented to the point of ending the journey prematurely, or they live in such a state of constant chaos. Remember, we're saying the constant chaos in your life first has to be regulated in your mind. There is no way to come out of a situation, a circumstance, a storm, a battle, fight, whatever you want to call it, without regulating the constant the chaos in your mind first and foremost. If you manage to get out of the situation, the storm, the chaos, you know, the trial, whatever you want to call it, and you have not thoroughly regulated your thoughts, you have not really cultivated the fruit of the Spirit, you have really not done the treasure hunt or done the work, if you really haven't done the inner work, then you will see that storm, that battle, that fight again. If you know people in your life, I have people in my life, you know, that, or I should say I know people that constantly go through the same thing over and over and over again, like it's a cycle in their lives as far as whether it's financial or emotional or mental or spiritual or relationship-wise or job. You know the person that always loses the job or always loses the house or always has financial problems or can never seem to get themselves together, and it's, they've been like that ever since you met them all their lives. It's because even though they've managed to maneuver their way out of the experience or the situation, the storm at that moment, since they have not done the inner work, they'll be back in that journey, that experience. That will come around again. And it will keep coming around until they do the inner work. It will keep coming around until they start the treasure hunt and begin to look for the what I call the unsnatchable treasures, the things that can't be taken away. It'll keep coming around until they get to that place, until they value that which no man can take. when they value, and I'm saying they in general, and you know, I'm including myself. I've been there, done that. Every day I wake up with the mindset that, okay, today I have to hunt for the treasures. You see, I'm looking for the spoils of war. And I understand that if a situation, a circumstance, or an experience occur on this journey and it repeats itself in my life, then I need to look at my inner work in that area. Because only those, the lessons that keep coming back to us over and over and over again, is not because it's the other people, it's because it's us. I'm sorry, boo. It's us. And, you know, there is something that we are supposed to get from the experience that would help us to become, or to become aware of who we are. And we're going to talk about that next week and the week after in our last two series, for Tragic Treasures. We'll talk about the fact that really what it's all about is the ultimate treasure, okay, which we'll discuss next week, and our soul's journey, okay? And when we understand that, then the experiences we have, the journey that we are on, the seasons we live through, the tragic moments, the tragic consequences that we experience, they all make sense when you understand what the ultimate treasure is, when you understand what you should be hunting, what the treasures you should be hunting are, when you understand that every lesson and experience has a spoils of war, then you'll get and understand as well what your soul's journey is. And life, I won't say that life becomes easier. I will say that knowing makes all the difference. I will say that knowing truth makes all the difference in how you live your life. I'm going to end it right there. I'm going to let you go. I'm not even going to try and just drag it out for a few more moments, because I have truly said all that I feel needs to be said today at this moment. I want to thank you for joining me once again, for becoming who I am. I am your host, Diane Rosina Jones, your sister, your friend, your girl, okay? I love you. I appreciate you. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Over these next 90 days, wonderful things are transpiring in our lives. Embrace them. And if not so wonderful things are transpiring in your life, embrace them. Get your mind right. And then the rest of the journey, the rest of the experience, you'll be surprised how you're able to move and maneuver through your journey, through your experience, in such a way that you find hidden treasures, you find spoils of war in the midst. All right? All my love to you and yours. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope you cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, walk in love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Until next week, namaste.